This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hailing from Staten Island, New York, our next guest is a member of the Tenderloins comedy troupe who are the stars of the wildly popular show Impractical Jokers. He's established himself as a novelist and children's book author. He was in Kansas City this past spring as part of the Big Slick Celebrity Weekend, raising money for Children's Mercy Hospital. You can watch Impractical Jokers every Thursday night on TBS, and he's currently in KC filming a new movie based on his book, Don't Move. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, James Murr Murray.
Mr. Murray, look at you, you handsome
guy. Good morning, guys. How are you? Oh, my God. It's such a pleasure to be here.
You look good.
By the way, so here at my where my microphone is, yep. There's a sheet of notes about myself.
That's right.
Which is very surreal. I guess like a cheat sheet, you know, a Cliff Notes. And one of the notes, it's weird. It says, better looking in person.
That's right. That's always cool. True. You are better looking in person.
Must be mentioned.
I got to tell you, man, it's such a pleasure to be here. We've talked so many times over the years.
Yeah.
And it's great to be here in person, meeting you guys.
You've been here in Kansas City for a month.
For like 2 months. It's crazy. I live 3 minutes away. My Airbnb is down the road.
That's what you were saying.
So party at my place. Let's go.
Right? So what do you think? I mean, 8 weeks, you do get a feel for a city.
You're like, sure.
This is a real city to you now. It's not just a visitation, right? So, you've been out eating, you've been finding restaurants, you've been finding bars to go to, you make friends, or is it just all work the whole time?
Like, it's nonstop? A lot of work, but I mean, I already love Kansas City. We've been here so many times. Big Slick and on tour, you know.
Yeah.
I would love to. I literally have texted my wife multiple times, we're moving to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Because we've been filming for a month. We've been filming a horror movie, right? It has not rained. There has not been a cloud in the sky for a month straight. Like a month ago, I said to the director, I was like, what happens if it's like 3 days of monsoon? You know, we're filming largely outdoors. He goes, we'll deal with it. It is perfect weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
No, it's a good town. People are nice. It's a good secret. Like the Slick, that's the big introduction, right? You would think about the stars that have come here that are from here. And then guys who come in like you who become part of the Big Slick. You know, this event to help the Children's Mercy Hospital, it's gotten so huge.
I know, it's unbelievable. They did like $4 million they raised.
And guys like you come in year after year and always want to be a part of it. I believe it's because the city is so much fun, dude, and nothing like it anywhere else in the United States.
They don't invite us. We just show up. And
right?
We try
right?
To, yeah. So it's a great event. We love coming here, man.
Yeah, but it's interesting to me to see people from Los Angeles and New York and all over the place, musicians and actors and comedians who come in and love it year after year.
Yeah.
Because it's such a different place to live, man. What I don't want to see is it become the next Nashville. You know, where you're like, oh, great.
Yeah, the hell with Nashville.
Dude, have you been to Nashville at all?
Yeah, many times.
Okay, so original Nashville was old school.
Okay.
And, you know, now it's the new Los Angeles.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Like, so I love Kansas City. I want to keep Kansas City, Kansas City. If that makes sense to you at all.
Sure.
Like, I love the old Nashville.
You know, I want to keep Staten Island, Staten Island.
That's
gotcha.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Listen, by the way, Staten Island gets bagged on. I love Staten Island. I absolutely do. I ride every time I go to New York because it's a free ferry ride to go see see the Statue of Liberty. I run. I walk all the way around the barrel. I go right back on the goddamn boat, and I go right back to the Manhattan again.
That's all everyone does.
Because it's a free, free ride, right?
Yeah.
I love Jersey, and I rented a crazy ass some jackal, and I mean it with love. Rented me a 40-foot boat in Bayonne and just watched me pull out and go out and circle Manhattan. Swear to God, got online and there was a boat rental place. I took a got into a car with a friend who lived on the island, went over to Bayonne in Jersey, and then the guy's like, "You know how to ride a boat or drive a boat?" And I go, "Sure,
sure."
Backed out and took off.
That's it.
Crazy. 20 minutes later.
Right down to Bermuda, man. Just keep going.
Dude, I'm going to run around the Statue of Liberty. And I'm like, this is the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. Who's handed it to me?
There was a punishment on Jokers where they made me dress as the Statue of Liberty. Right. And they put me on a little boat. Right in front of the real statue, and all these tourist boats are going by, and there's like 1,000 tourists on every boat. None of them are looking at the real statue. They're looking at the jackass on the thing, dressed like one in 30 degree weather.
That's the best, man. Well, that's the ridiculous nature of New York City and Jersey and everything. And it's the perfect place for Tenderloins, like the beginning of all this, to get a bunch of you guys together who is just a different world over there. It's a different feel, man, than it is the West Coast. I lived in California for a little while, and I love the weather. It's amazing, dude. Beautiful. But I love New York. I love the people. I love the feel. I love everything that's going on. The energy to me is it's not even close.
We, I was living in Manhattan for many, many years. I grew up in Staten Island, then moved to Brooklyn, then lived in Manhattan for a long time while making the TV show. And then I got married like 4 or 5 years ago. And my wife and I moved to Princeton, New Jersey, like central Jersey, right? And I had never lived in the suburbs before like that. Right. I'd never had neighbors. In Staten Island, it's not like that. You know, it's like, you know, the houses are, you know, 1 foot apart, that kind of thing. So it never like had a real block like that. And we move into the new house in Jersey. The first thing, keep in mind, I've ever owned in my life. I've never owned a home. I've never owned a car before 4 years ago.
Crazy.
And I'm 48 years old. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So we move into the house. Literally 2 weeks after moving into the house, had yet to meet a single neighbor on the block. The guys decide to punish me on impractical jokers.
Oh, no.
And I come back and I pull up my driveway. They had painted my entire lawn pink. They got the guy that does Yankee Stadium, who does the lines. It's the same paint. And the lawn, the front lawn is big, right?
Right?
It was all pink. The whole driveway was pink. So all the neighbors on the block that I'd yet to meet were like, who is this jerk off that moved onto the block?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's a practical joke. That was great.
Well, that's what you do, right? Yeah. Like that's how you bust your buddy's balls. That's where everything comes from. We're talking about the beginning of Impractical on True. You know, that you guys didn't come in with a giant budget. You didn't come in, it had to survive on its own. It had to really be something. And then survive those True years and then jumping over to TBS, it really took over everything. And yeah, it's unlikely to you think about the odds of it happening the way it did.
I don't know, man. What a surreal ride it's been. I was just talking about this the other day. I don't think it would happen anymore.
No,
because TV has changed so. I mean, you know from radio how much has radio changed in the past 10 years. TV has gone the same trajectory.
Absolutely, man.
It's wild. I just don't think you'll get a TV show that runs 14, 15 years anymore like
that. It's unbelievable. Well, When it all first started, I was narrating Full Throttle Saloon that was on True.
Of course, of course.
So that was my reason I saw it happen. And I remember you guys coming on, and I remember thinking, finally, something else good. That I, you know, because it was a lot of lizard lick going on, right? And I was like, yeesh.
That's a funny sentence, by the way. You know, there used to be a lot of lizard lick going on, and then I got married.
So then you guys come in, and again, the idea that you brothers and guys who in improv develop this, and it's basically ball busting. And again, it just goes in so many different areas and go to so many rabbit holes. Getting your friends to do terrible things and doing terrible things to your friends is how we show love.
Sure. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I tell you what, though, I think what makes the show work is that we remain humble. And I'll give you an example of how we remain humble. So last night, I had a new book come out yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. This is my ninth book. I brought a copy for you guys. It's called awesome. You Better Watch Out. It's like a serial killer thriller, right? So I'm here in Kansas City, though, filming a movie. And I have to promote the book for the publisher. It's in my contract. But I reached out to the publisher. I was like, look, the movie schedule overlaps with all the press. I can do like a satellite radio tour yesterday, which I did. And then last night they said, okay, look, we'll push all the book signings to next week when you're back in New York. But can you do like a TikTok, Instagram Live to promote the book last night? So from set, I went into the house there. We're in the middle of in the woods, but the house had the Wi-Fi. There's no cell service. They let us invade the house, set up a TikTok live. I'm doing it for like an hour and a half, autographing copies of the book. And there's people watching. There's a lot of people watching, right? And this is what keeps us humble. I accidentally said exactly where we – I said, hey, a special shout out to blah, 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 where we were filming. And then all my employees froze and looked at me like, you dumbass, you dick, you dick, what are you doing? People are going to show up because we're filming a movie and it's a very specific location. Sure. And we're there tonight too. And I froze on the TikTok live. I was like, oh my God, are people about to show up? And like, say, to see the movie, to see me, to see the cast of the movie filming. And this is what keeps us humble. No one showed up. I was like, all right, I ain't that famous, you know?
Damn.
Yep. That's the best, though, isn't it, man? And I love the fact you're shooting this movie. You've been here for 8 weeks now, and there hasn't been any talk about, you guys haven't released any of the cast yet.
No, the cast gets announced on Monday, but I can give a couple of teases. Well, first, a Kansas City local, Rob Riggle, is a lead in the movie.
Uh-huh. Can you? You can. Okay, because I thought
I
didn't want to say it loud, but I'm like, man, I feel like Rob.
Yeah,
because he's what a brother, man. I will tell you, I love Sudeikis and obviously Stone Street and Rudd. Everybody, you know.
Well, I just saw Stone Street last week at the Chiefs game.
Wonderful, mm-hmm. Incredible people. Guy. For whatever reason, Riggle, like he's that guy. Like he's a guy. He's our guy.
I'll tell you why, because he has such life. History and story, yes. Right? Like, obviously, you know, going Afghanistan, military, and he still has the personality and just a world of experience turned into comedy. And just a great guy.
I know.
He's a lead in the movie. I'll give you some other teases because the cast list gets announced on Monday. There are two major musicians that have leads in the movie. And there are two impractical jokers in the movie as well.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Fantastic.
There's a little tease.
You, obviously you wrote the movie.
The movie is called Don't Move. It comes out next year. It's a horror movie based on the last book we wrote called Don't Move that did really well. It's about a church group that wanders into the wrong woods, basically.
Right.
There's the top line, right? But it's really good. It's scary as hell. And we wrote it like 3-4 years ago, came out. And it was always like my dream. I mean, I've talked about this probably on your show before. Always my dream to like make one of these books into a movie or a TV show.
But I mean, what a huge dream.
Yeah, it's wild. It's surreal. So my co-author, Darren, who's from Canada, flew in 2 days ago. So I've been living this for the past 2 months. But he came in never having seen all the work that went into it. And his like eyes, the joke is that, I can say this. The joke is that when he saw the movie, he was just like hard as a rock.
He's had a
perpetual erection.
That's great. Good, good.
You know, and because it's wild to see something that comes out of your imagination now there in front of you with like celebrities doing your words that you wrote while drunk 4 years ago. We write a lot of the books, you know, on whiskey. You know, what I'm saying?
Listen, that lubricates the world. I found a little brown liquor will really get the brain going.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I don't know if anybody is listening that wants to come be part of the movie. We are filming at the Cornucopia Fall Fest this weekend. You know, obviously it runs this Friday through Sunday. They have been so generous to us and are letting us film the big carnival scene at the beginning of the movie there at Cornucopia.
And Cornucopia is happening at the Power and Light?
Yeah, Power and Light. It's awesome. It's just so cool. So we're going to be there in that area on Thursday and Friday.
What time will you be doing it?
Thursday we're filming all day. Into the early evening. Friday we're filming all day. It's just day into
so if you're
evening.
In the area, you will most likely be part of a sweeping shot.
Absolutely
somewhere.
Right. We'll be at Cornucopia on Friday filming as
cool,
well.
Man,
if you wanna be part of it, email us at don'tmovecasting@gmail.com.
Very Pretty good. Easy. Don'tmovecasting@gmail.com.
Yeah, and come by, hang out. I'm assuming the same amount of people will show up to meet me that came to the location.
If you want to be in this movie and you're available on Thursday, don'tmovecasting@gmail.com. Gregory?
Doing it right now.
Okay, put it up on all the
Yeah, if you want to be an extra in the movie.
Don'tmovecasting@gmail.com. Wow.
And if you want to like ride rides with me and have a churro, I'll do that.
Right. Dude, I love horror. Like, We're huge fans. Did you make it out to Bozeman's, to Darren's deal at
Exile did.
KC?
I did.
Excellent.
Ready for this? It was my anniversary last week, and which I think I mentioned to you guys, or maybe 2 weeks ago, right? And my wife came in. We alternate, right? So 1 year I'll plan what we do on our anniversary. The next year she does, and back and forth, and we renew our vows every year, right? But it doesn't have to be something crazy. It could be something simple. Like, so 2 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago, it was my turn, and I had like this giant, you know those big ass stretch SUV limos that are like, it's way too big. You could fit 30 people in them, right? So I rented one. It pulls up to our house. It couldn't even fit up the driveway. The thing's so long, right? And I said to my wife, we're going to an event. It's black tie. So she has this gorgeous dress on. I literally wore my tuxedo for my wedding. The only second time in my life I've worn it, right? We get in the limo. There's wine in there and so on and so forth. We drive around for like 20, 25 minutes. She goes, where are we going? The limo pulls up to the Red Lobster in town. And they had a red carpet rolled out. We go in. They closed off a section of Red Lobster just for Melissa and I. And all of the waiters had also put on tuxes for us.
So great.
I mean, you know, it could be that.
Dude.
But anyways, 2 weeks ago, it was her turn.
Right.
And she planned this whole night out, right? So we go out to dinner. I leave set a little bit early. We go out to a great dinner in town. And then we go to, we go zip lining in the forest at night.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then we do an escape room in the forest at night.
Okay.
It was, and we were also fairly drunk.
But it was the best.
Because we had like that wine sampling at dinner.
Yeah.
So six glasses of wine in, I'm zip lining.
Hell, you know, like an
idiot.
You were out there in Bonner Springs out there and just past my house. They did an incredible job out there.
It's wild.
When you go out there and Exile KC, when you're going on the road, you're like, we're not going to the right place. Because it just goes and goes and goes. And you're like, we're definitely lost right now.
It's like
now.
A horror movie.
And then, boom, that woods open up.
So
and
cool.
What they built out there, that carnival-esque, like, look, because you can see it has that movie set quality.
Yeah.
And I was so knocked out by all that. And I've known those guys. I'm a big horror fan.
Yeah.
And I love haunts. I love Haunted House. I love all that professional stuff. Like, we go to the, we literally go to the haunt show in St. Louis. It's the Trans World Haunt Show. It's for all of America.
Yeah.
If you love haunting stuff, like those kind of things, every manufacturer of the private stuff that goes in haunted houses in there, you will spend money you should not spend.
Wow.
I'm telling you, my whole house is filled with 6-foot zombies, hyper-realistic stuff. Like, it's ridiculous. Dragon says it shoots smoke. Like, it's dumb.
I'm a sucker for, like, carnival games, too. There's these two guys. They're cousins. They're like in their mid, late 70s. They own every carnival ride in America that gets retired.
Yeah.
They buy. They have like Walmart-sized warehouses spread throughout New York and New Jersey. You would never know. It's this nondescript building.
Right.
It's massive. It's like 100,000 square feet, every one. And inside, they have full roller coasters that have been retired from Coney Island. From
what do they do with them?
They rent them out to movies. They sell them. So when Melissa and I moved to Jersey, we found these guys, and I toured like six of their warehouses, and I bought like an original bumper car from Coney Island.
Yes.
I got a viewfinder from Niagara Falls.
Absolutely,
I got an old fireman's pole box from Brooklyn from the 1950s, like that kind of stuff.
Literally,
where did this stuff go to die?
I'm telling you, that's the stuff I collect.
Yeah, it's awesome. They have full like haunted house rides and roller coasters.
Oh.
You know, it's crazy.
Dude, I love those old machines. I've looked into those for years that you used to have to put the quarters in and then you'd look in. You know, they have them at the zoo. They have them at Niagara Falls. Love that. Because that's what good is making any money if you don't go buy some great, stupid stuff you don't need?
You got a bumper
right?
car.
Oh, no. I love
so
those.
Awesome.
Oh, are you kidding me? Like, for years, I wanted to buy those bumper boats. They used to have those.
Bumper boats.
And they used to do the same thing with little motors because I was like, my girlfriend lives out on a little lake. And I'm like, oh, we should have at least six of these.
Absolutely. Have you seen those?
Yeah,
oh
amazing.
My God.
Yeah.
But it's but I'm so glad that you've been enjoying the city, man. This idea, this, you know, this movie being shot here and a good horror movie as well. And musicians now local
international.
International. Okay,
they're,
so that's
big,
that.
Big. You know both names. As obviously a radio station, DJs, you guys know both.
But the reason I ask is because, like, you know, from Kansas City, if you're into rap at all, Tech N9ne is from Kansas
City.
Sure,
of course.
So Tech is a wonderful friend, has been forever. And he was also out at Exile K. He loves horror as well. So, so I was like, oh, maybe that's it. But maybe that's for next time.
We'll see. We'll announce it on Monday officially. But I was hoping it was supposed to go out this week, and it's coming out next week.
There was a big star, and I won't go very deep. There was a big star that showed up at a football game. I saw that, and I wonder why that guy was around.
Oh, you mean last week?
Yes.
That I took a photo with?
Yes.
Oh, Dennis Quaid? Dennis Quaid?
That's who it was. Yes.
Yeah,
so, I can say it. You guys are friends.
I was starstruck.
What an interesting coincidence.
Starstruck.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's not in our movie, don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not, but he was. He's playing Lamar Hunt. They're doing like a movie.
That makes all the sense in the world.
And so he was there, I think, doing research on the role. Obviously, the whole Hunt family was there. Mm-hmm. The other producer of our movie just made the Hallmark Chiefs movie.
Yeah.
Right. It comes out later this year.
With Kelsey.
So we were in the owner's box, which was wild. I've never...
The two-story one with the
whole
paneling?
It was crazy.
I've only heard, never seen it.
I've never seen anything like that in my life, right? I set up some secret cameras in there too,
so for you.
We can tune in right now and watch what's happening.
If you're just joining the show, Murr from Impractical Jokers is here with us. He's shooting a movie in Kansas City. He's got a brand new book. You better watch out, and it just came out yesterday. I'm excited about that. I'd love to read that, man.
Oh my gosh, I brought it for you guys.
And if with a little luck, man, you're going to start making horror movies as well.
We're making this one next year. We already started.
What kind of crazy ass world are you living in?
I tell you what, because I'm tired of getting tortured by Sal and Joe. That's enough. How many things can they pierce? How many body parts can be penetrated? There's no holes left. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you, the prostate exam.
No holes left.
Just here to
James Murray story.
That's like
no holes left untouched. Yeah, dude, it is. I want to know the stuff that you didn't do. That's the other thing. Like you go, okay. What got voted down? They went, no, we can't do that. Like
on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's the add-on chapter. That's the bonus material,
I tell you, one that comes immediately to mind is they wanted to give me breast implants. I'm dead serious. There's a procedure that women can have done where they inject you with some kind of solution.
That's right.
That gives you the...
fuller appearance.
Two cup sizes bigger for like a period of time, 48 hours.
And then your body reabsorbs it. Yeah.
Eventually. So they wanted to do that to me before like a huge life event, like my wedding or, you know what I mean?
Hilarious.
You know, when my father passed away. I'm there. You know, something really inappropriate. Like I'm delivering the eulogy, but I've got... double D breasts. But, you know, I was like, guys, too much. So we couldn't find a doctor that would do it to a man.
Yeah, that's... Will you adopt another Joker at some point? Will you... Buddy wants attention. Will you find an... Would you think that there's another guy? Is that how it'll go? Like, eventually, you'll add somebody to the club.
The closest was Fatone, you know?
Yeah,
Fatone is our age.
He loves it.
He's an F head, if you know that word. Just like us, Brooklyn guy, Italian guy, same age, wildly different life history, obviously. But he's probably the closest, I'd say, and he's been a guest performer so many times, probably our favorite guest. But I don't know. I think the show kind of is just about our friendship, ultimately.
It really is.
Season 11, which is on TV, we went back to just us, and we bring celebrities in a la carte like we always used to do.
Yeah.
Season 12, we start filming in February. Same thing. We just go back to the basics, and it's been so much fun.
Dude, there's no way. Nobody's getting burnt, right? Like, you're still feeling strong about it. It's a long time, and it's a lot of work, so it's hard.
Nobody's getting burnt.
You know, but every time
I fly here, my license still has no eyebrows. Still, it's a 10-year punishment.
Oh, my God.
For the record, what are the listeners thinking?
You look like an alien on the X-Files.
For the record, I meant burnt out.
Like,
I didn't mean your...
My driver's license looks like Lex Luthor's penis.
Have you ever just taken the picture of a photograph of the photo and put that on social media
your
face? But
because you can Google it.
Jesus Christ, man, that's horrendous. Worst thing I ever did in my eyebrows years ago, and Jake will remember this. As they were shooting a little low budget movie here in Kansas City, I had a small part, and they wanted to lighten my eyebrows.
Yeah,
and it came out like white. Like, so I had to walk around with goddamn white eyebrows for 2 months. Awful look. It looks like there's something wrong with you. Like there's something deeply wrong.
The worst part, when they shaved my eyebrows, it took 3 months to grow. Well, the worst part was this. Wait, before that, like, they shaved my eyebrows. I had not a lick of brow.
And your brows are dark.
Not a lick of brow. Anyways, so I had not a lick of brow. And literally the next day I was flying to Virginia because I was my nephew's confirmation sponsor in church. Right?
Oh.
So there's like 1,000 people in the church.
No.
There's like, you know, 100 kids getting confirmed that they believe in Jesus. Meanwhile, I look like the devil.
Yeah, right. Do you draw them on? You stick like
when you don't have any eyebrows, people don't know what emotion you have on your face.
Yeah,
you know, they don't know if I'm angry, sad.
Dude, you're
happy.
A serial killer.
Yeah,
you're a goddamn. When you lose your eyebrows, you look like a serial killer.
Yeah, and then the worst part was like a month and a half in. It took 3 months to grow back. Month and a half in, like wisps of hair start appearing, yes. And people didn't know if I was coming or going. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I'm either recovering or you know, slipping back in.
Oh, we got to talk about your shirt. But you've got two dogs on your
They're
shirt.
They're here in Kansas City. My wife brought them down 2 days ago to surprise me.
Little, what are they? Malti Shih Tzu?
Yeah, Malti Shih Tzu, Lhasa Apso kind of mixes this up. Pepper and Penny.
Same ones that you guys had.
I had a Lhasa Apso a million years ago. We have Pekingese that are half Pekingese.
And I love the fact that, A, you bring them with.
Yep.
Because it's just family. But then you have your shirt. Now I feel like I have to get a shirt with Buddy on it. Like
we're bringing the puppies. They're going to be extras in the scene at Cornucopia this Thursday and Friday. They're going to be famous puppies.
There's certain things when you know you like somebody. When you go, oh, you got your dog. We're all good.
I don't trust anybody that doesn't like dogs. I don't.
Fact. Yeah. No. Fact, man. Now, listen, you don't got to have one. And maybe it doesn't fit in your lifestyle. But if you don't like them, there's something deeply wrong
with you. We were filming last night, and my two pups were on set in the house when I was doing the TikTok live. And the homeowner had a cat. My dogs didn't give a crap. They ignored the cat. But the cat comes down the stairs, and I've never seen this body. I don't know how an animal does this. The cat, its back was curled up like a McDonald's arch, and it had one paw in the air.
Yep.
You didn't know whether the cat was going to swipe at the dogs, pounce, it's just tear your jugular out.
Yeah.
I don't trust them. I don't like them.
We found a cat in a dumpster at this restaurant, Nick and Jake's. That's no shot at Nick and Jake. It was a feral cat. This little bitty baby kitten, of course, named Oscar, Lord of the Dumpster now. He despises Buddy with all his heart. He lives with my girlfriend, but Oscar will wait for him to come around the corner and then stand on his back legs. He's a black cat. And his hand, he goes,
and
he
hisses.
And you can see him rejoice in the fear in this giant 50-pound dog's eyes. The dog runs off, and he just walks off like, that's right, bitch. That's right, bitch. You remember who's here? Oscar.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love all animals, right? So we had in our backyard, a cat started showing up over the winter. And I'm like, well, we can't leave the cat. I said, I'm not going to bring the cat in. We got two dogs. But also, I'm not going to let the cat starve. Yeah. So we then start making the cat food.
Yep,
right?
Sure.
Like, you know,
course.
First we order like Friskies or whatever. But then Melissa's like, you know, it'd be better if we cook them salmon, things like that. So then we start making salmon for
the
cat every day
best.
And putting out plates of food and water. And it starts eating. And we make a little bed outside on the porch. The dogs are freaking out, right? So at one point, my dog is so crazy. He escapes out the door. And he chases every animal. He runs full force at the cat. The cat does not move, stands his ground. And my dog is used to every animal running.
Of course,
he runs
right?
at it. And he's so surprised, he comes to a screeching halt a foot away and is like, what the F, man? Like, you're not scared of me? The cat didn't give a crap, right?
It's the
Anyways, so Q warns me. He goes, you got to be careful, Mara. That one cat is going to turn into two, into three, into four. You'll see. What? 3 weeks later, we had six cats we're cooking salmon for.
That's
and
right.
And then I had to take out a second mortgage on my house to pay for all this.
Dude, I know, and I don't even want to tell you about this because I feel like I'm not helping. There's a great company that makes pretty inexpensive little cat outdoor cabins with a heater in the bottom, and you can buy them for under $100, and they're sealed away from the elements, and literally you plug it in, and that way because I may have bought a few of them and with friends who ended up with feral cats outside, and they didn't know how to take care of them. But there's a great company that makes these little canvas deals, and they work well for a few years, and they've got a little warmer inside, so they never freeze to death.
Yep.
No, I'm a sucker, man. Like I rescued a raccoon out of my trash can yesterday. Dude, so my refrigerator went bad. I'd throw all the food in it. And this big-ass raccoon, this monster, I heard the lid go dunk, dunk, dunk. And I went down by my driveway, and I grabbed my girl. I go, I think there's a goddamn raccoon in here. And I go, I shut the door. And I'm like, I don't think he can get out. And I was like, oh. So then you have to, like, carefully lean it forward. And I didn't want to kick it over. That seemed mean. But sure enough, he came wobbling mad. He'd been in there for at least a day.
Oh, wow.
Gorging himself on raw chicken nuggets. Yeah, and then he was like, oh, thank you, sir, but I gotta. But I was like, God dang. But I'm telling you, he was the size of Buddy. He was a giant-ass raccoon.
Wow.
But, yeah, no, I have 30 acres out known as disgrace
30 acres?
Out
that's,
here.
That's that Missouri living right there.
Right by where you were shooting, or right by the haunted house, a mile from that.
Yeah.
And so I don't have a house out there. It's land I bought that we feed deer, and we've got all this stuff. We literally wander around there like dickheads putting out corn and salt and like just it's nonstop. Yeah. Like it's ridiculous with the animals, man.
I love it. That's good. We have 5 acres, which is huge in Jersey.
It's impossible, more than
I ever had in my life.
It's impossible in Jersey to have five acres. Yeah, man.
But for me, 5 acres, I feel like a farmer. It's like Murr Farms. It's like Murr, you got a garden, you got basil plants. That's it. Come on, man.
For a guy who lived in Brooklyn and New York, that fact you bought a mower.
Yeah, that's it.
My buddy who lived in Manhattan, his wife Celine worked on the High Line and Little Island in the Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the landscape architects. So they lived there all their lives, raising their kids. He just moved to Kansas City, and watching him have to master the lawn, I've never laughed so hard in my life watching Chuck. I know you're listening, Chuck. Chuck's out there with his little push lawnmower, and you can see it's the most foreign thing in the world to him.
Wow. We have a lawnmower. We have landscapers that help. It's too much property to maintain, right? But yeah. we do have a lawnmower, but all we use it for is, I'm a hairy guy, so I just lay down on the grass. My wife mows right over my back. So get it all done in once.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when will you leave Kansas City, Murr?
On Saturday. We wrap the movie.
You timed this
three
well.
Days.
That way we can't come find out where you live and come sit in your yard.
Yeah, we wrap the movie on Saturday night. We finish filming Friday night. Friday we film 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. And then I go right to the airport and catch a 6 a.m. flight, go right to New York Comic Con to do autographed copies. You better watch out. Then I have a show on Saturday in Pennsylvania at Bucknell University. And then Sunday I'm at a candle show. My wife owns a candle company. And I'm very – can I tell you the coolest thing ever?
Yeah.
You ready for this? How sweet is my wife, right? 2 weeks ago was our anniversary, I mentioned, right? And my wife owns a candle company. She runs it out of the house. It's called 95 Candles. She works her butt off doing this. And I see it. She's down in the office. We converted like a room in the garage into an office for her. She started during COVID because she was a geriatric care nurse. And they said no one is allowed to come into the nursing home anymore, so stay home. Right, they weren't letting any new employees in. She'd just gotten the job 5 years ago, and 4 years ago, and then so she's out of a job. So she pivoted and created a candle company, and it took off. And she makes like 1,000 candles a year. And anyways, so 2 weeks ago, I'm on set here in Kansas City. My wife is here, but she's back at the house. And an email comes into my phone, and it's a bank account transfer into the movie account. And I'm not expecting any, we have investors in the movie, things sure. like that. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I turned to my other co-producer and I said, did Melissa invest in the movie? My wife took her own candle company money, which
Shut
I know
up.
How hard she works to
Shut
make
up.
That, right? Aww. Like it takes her hours to make these candles, right? And she invested her own candle company money secretly behind my back because I'm the one that has to sign all the contracts. I'm the producer of the movie. And one of the co-producer faked my signature to do it as an anniversary gift for me. In that, I'm on set, dude. Tears start streaming down my face. It was such a thoughtful thing to do. Such a show of like support or confidence that she believes in like what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
I was incapacitated for an hour.
Watching you tell that story just now, I saw the tears come up in your eyes.
I was tears down my face.
This guy really loves, like,
I got a good one, man. I got a good one. So it was the most thoughtful thing anyone's ever done.
You had me at, she was working with the geriatric nurse. Like, what a good human being. So,
now my goal is to tank the movie so she loses all the money. She's got to learn a valuable business lesson.
That's right. Don't invest in Hollywood. What are you,
indie movies, come on.
Jesus Christ.
Might as well buy swampland in Florida.
He's back, Kevin Smith. So you were doing this crazy-ass TV show, and then you met her.
Uh-huh.
And you meet her in the middle of this, and again, so that would have put you 5 or 6 seasons in, I assume, or 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah, okay. Like 6 years ago.
It's big. The reason I bring that up is it's really hitting at that point. You become very famous. And there is no fame like reality fame because it goes 8 to 80. It's not like being in a rock band where only certain genres like you. Everywhere you go, you're known. So how do you meet a geriatric?
I know what you're saying. How do you meet a geriatric nurse? But it sounds like an 80-year-old nurse.
Yeah. No, I know.
I'm just really into 80-year-old nurses.
It's my thing.
They've seen stuff, you know what I'm saying?
But how do you meet how do you meet a normal person?
I'll tell you what.
How do you meet a civilian?
At my book launch, my first book I wrote, I've told the story before in the show, but
I
wrote a book on a dare 24 years ago. I was 2000, 2001. I have an idea. My buddy says, you know what? Just write that book. It was like a sci-fi horror. Okay, yep. So I spent a year writing it. But I was famous. I was nobody. And I couldn't get anybody to read the damn book. I just naively sent it into publishers. They rejected it, sent it back. I didn't have an agent, lawyer, nothing. It just got sent back to me. So it just sat on my computer for 15 more years. But in that time, got famous on Impractical Jokers, blah, blah. And then the guys, it's like 2015, 16, Q says to me, he goes, Murr, what happened to that book you wrote? It was really good. You should do something with it. I was like, you're right, I should. So I sent the same book in to HarperCollins. They bought the trilogy. The first one hit like number one on the UK Sunday Times, bestsellers around the world. And it launched this now 9 books later. Anyways, the first book that I wrote on a dare 24 years ago, I decided, let me do something cool and different for the book launch. Most book launches suck. They're boring. They're little cocktail parties and people are like, oh, this chapter, blah, blah, blah. Who cares, right? I want to do something cool. It's a horror book.
Right.
So I built a haunted house based on the book, and I hired the best haunted house company in New York City to build it. It was like an experience. Fans would come in. It was a whole weekend event. They went through multiple rooms of a haunted house designed after the book. So they first walk into a subway car that's been torn apart by creatures. Then they leave the car, go into the subway tunnels. So we built a New York City subway tunnel, and that's when the creatures attack. Then they climb downstairs and go into the lair, this creature's lair, where
Excellent.
More creatures attack. And when they come running out terrified, that's where I am to sign the book. My wife just happened to be in the city, came to the event. We hit it off. I remember after the event, I said to my friends, I was like, did you see that girl I was talking to today? Oh, my God. And we went on our first date 3 months later. And I knew on the first date,
How'd you get her number?
I didn't. I did not get her number. 3 months later, I'm on vacation with my family. I posted a picture and she liked it. And I remember her, of course.
Ding, 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 ding.
And I DM'd her. And that was that.
Were you scared to DM her? Because I'm terrible.
Well, I was drunk at the time, so no, I was not scared.
Right? Yeah. How are you at rejection? Would you ask girls out?
You tell me. Look at me.
Look at me.
Clearly, I'm okay with rejection. It's been most of my life, you know? My hair rejected me 20 years ago.
But the idea that you guys, because I was, I like to... You know, when you meet somebody and you really can watch them with their face. Like, we talk on the phone. I can never see your face, right? But you talk about your wife. You talk about redoing your vows every year. You talk about her kindness or your excitement about her candle coming. You can see the love. It's real. Like, it's a real admiration, friendship. Like, it's a real thing. So I think, man, it's so hard to find in real world, let alone when you're a famous person and you have this life it's so... all over the place.
You get to a point, I'm 48 now, you get to a point, like I was got married at 44 years old, where you reach a certain age, certain point in your life, career, we're like, all right, I'm just not going to get married, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to have kids, it is what it is. It just kind of passed me by, and I never believe people and say, I just didn't, I thought they're all full of,
Yeah.
Right? And then I met her, and I freaking knew. And she proves to me every day how amazing she is. Like, that is so sweet because she busts her
ass
for that. For real. You know what I mean?
Well, and again, above all, it shows she believes in you. And what's more important in this life than being in love with someone that believes in you?
Which is why I'm going to do my absolute best to tank
him. You tank this bitch.
You
show her what's up.
Yeah. Riggle made a huge mistake.
And then you look then you look smart by writing it off on your taxes. You go, I planned this all the way. But Riggle, like, I love the fact, like, when you're meeting these guys now, because you're, you know, I feel like you're more, we call it one of us, where it's just, you reach and you see it's a good person.
Yeah.
And we're all lucky to be here, right? So you start to meet these musicians and you start to meet really famous people that were famous before you became. And is it still freak you out? Does it still, do you go, holy yes, how
totally,
can I even be here?
Totally. Like I mentioned, there are two major musicians in the movie. One, it'll be his lead, debut lead role in a movie.
Can you say genre? Or
rap,
is that too much?
Rap.
Awesome. Okay. And you're a huge fan?
Yes.
Excellent.
Any guesses?
Oh, see, well, here's my wishes. I immediately go, well, an Eminem would be huge.
That'd be amazing.
Cube is a thing. I'm a big Ice-T fan.
Mm.
So more modern. I said, I don't want to keep drilling down like that. Snoop would be.
Snoop.
Snoop's done some horror, but not as a lead. Because he was in the vampire movie.
Uh-huh.
And he did Hood of Horror.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh.
Snoop, you know, Snoop is on network. Snoop did some show on TBS or something. And then the only one and only I just noticed was drawn on the glass right next to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's penis, so funny. Yeah. It's a penis drawn on the glass. Like, I'm looking in your direction. Yeah. And all I see, can I say the D word?
Yeah.
All I see is a dick on the glass. Okay. Right. It's so funny. It's so funny, too. It was like a few minutes ago, I'm being so serious. I'm like, oh, my wife. And meanwhile, it's like, it has a goddamn dick on the glass.
And right. The reason that's there is because when she turns, it's pointed right at
us.
Yeah, I know, by design.
Yeah. I know.
Can I tell you one of my favorite things to do is whenever we go into like an important, we've done it for years. Every network meeting we've had, we've gone to the president of the network's office when he or she's not in the room, or development people, what have you. And there's a notepad on the desk. We take a pen or a Sharpie and we go several pages down and draw the dick.
Yes.
And you'll never know how it plays out.
Never. I know.
Could be a month later when somebody's like, what the hell? Who did this? It's my favorite thing to do.
We used to go down to salespeople we hate and get six deep on their cards and write the C word. You just want to think that they're just handing out cards and somebody's like, God damn.
The other thing I love to do, look, I'm not hurting anybody by doing this prank, okay? I'm not. So look, get that out of your heads. What Sal and I will do is when we go into like a convenience store or 7-Eleven, what have you, you know, you go up close to the counter and you put your hands close to where the candy is and you pick up like a Twix bar or something like that and you absolutely crush the Twix bar in the wrapping, right? And then you smooth the wrapping back out so it looks perfectly intact, okay? So in my mind, here's how the scenario, I'll never know who's the victim of my prank, right? But in my mind, the ideal situation is this. Some child has been out there, like, you know, raising money to save up for that one Twix bar. Kids don't have paper routes anymore, do they, right? They've been delivering papers for like a month or two, saving their allowance. It's like the Wonka chocolate bar. They want to get it. They have their eye on that Twix bar. They go in, spend their hard-earned cash. They get the Twix bar. They walk out the store and just... a puff of smoke comes out of the wrapper. And that kid has learned a valuable life lesson. Okay? That's my,
you and Sal, like his Santa Claus stuff. Holy God.
Oh, wow. Like, we're going way back.
I mean, but just with, you know, because you get the feel for what the funny is, right? Like, because most people won't touch on if religion gets real touchy for people.
Sure.
Me, the sacred cows, you know, make the best burgers, right? Like, let's cut them up and cook them. Let's just see what we can get going. Because that's the funniest to me, you know, is to see people laugh in spite of being offended.
Yeah.
That's probably the most fun you can ever have with somebody.
I think we're right on the borderline. Like,
yeah.
We stay,
I think so, man.
You know?
Yeah. It's never mean. No, you guys, that's the other thing. It never feels mean.
Yeah.
And if there's any bit where you go, oh, if it happened to me, you realize it's between friends.
Yeah, and you can see what helps us too, so you can see a squirming, right? So there was an episode that aired, 2 weeks ago, where we have to talk somebody, oh, wait, maybe it hasn't aired yet. Maybe it's my mind is all mixed because I'm editing episodes in the future, you know? So, but there's a scene where we have to talk somebody into helping us carry like a rug across the park and other furniture. So this guy comes up. He's a big guy, big, taller than you, clearly a Midwest guy. You know, he has the look. He's a tourist coming to town. His family's there. In the background, I can tell his family recognizes me, but he does not, right? So I'm like, boom, got him. Because I know they'll sign the release.
Right.
Because the family's like, that's Murr. Anyways, so the guys helped me move this rug across the park. And the guys had me say to him, do you mind if I take a picture with you? Yeah, my niece doesn't believe I have any gay friends. And I'm squirming. And the guy says, meanwhile, he's there with his wife and his daughter, right? And the guy's like, I'm not gay. And then they had me follow up and say, are you kidding me with lips like yours? You're definitely gay. Which is not offensive, really. But no, I'm also terrified
you're
to do it.
You're waiting to see what he's going to do.
You don't know how people are going to react, right? But I did it with a smile and I was mortified, and he took it the right way. It was hysterical.
Dude, so speaking of those, because people don't realize there are releases that need to be signed in order to show.
Sure.
How often do you get turned down? Anybody just go, no?
All the time.
See,
that's so
disappointing, because you go, take the hit, have the laugh, and be a part of history.
Well, there's one where we're not going to use this turn. You won't see this turn on TV. I literally nixed it last night because it's too many blurs. No one signed. We're in a supermarket and we have a baby Bjorn on, you know, with a fake baby, but it looks so real.
Right.
On our chest. And so people act differently when you've got a baby in your chest, right? They just do.
Sure.
They don't behave the same way, right? And they had me, hi, pups. They had me repeatedly go up to people in the supermarket and ask a weird question. Do you want to smell my baby? Which is weird. Go figure. No one signed the release. So we can't use it on TV.
Oh, my God. My brain immediately went to because I don't have kids, right? But all my friends, I'll see them off the diaper, and I'm like, what kind of a monster are you? you just huffed your kid's crap diaper. You're like, listen, my olfactory system, it's bad. I had COVID. My nose has, does this kid poop? And I just hear it in my head. But that's what makes it so much fun to watch and practical, is it's the stuff that you would, given the right time, money, friends, and opportunity, the idea of busting this balls and how far you'll go. I'm still back thinking about your incredible book release for your first one, where you built the haunted house.
That's wild, right? It was really cool.
By the way, then haunted. When I used to go to New York, I still go to New York every year a couple of times. But back when they had Jekyll and Hyde,
there's
the original, and then they built two more.
Yep.
And then they built the Times Square one.
Yep.
Whoever designed that thing, I went three times, and then it shut pretty quick. Did you get to go?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
One of the best ones. I love haunted houses. I love stuff like
that. If you love $60 cheeseburgers, that's the place.
Yeah, it was worth it. I know. But you know what? I ate them because it's still. It was great, though. But it's that level of creativity. And when you add a little bit of wherewithal to a guy like you and some opportunity and guys and people that can get it done, man, you can do some crazy stuff.
There's two great places in New York, right? So in Manhattan, there's Blood Manor, which is amazing, a haunted house. And then in Jersey, there's 13th Hour Escapes and Haunts, which is like a Walmart-sized venue of haunted house.
Online.
It is, they literally 5,000 people go through a night. It is spectacular, multi-level. It's like a warehouse building. Unbelievable. You got to go.
Yeah,
it's the best haunted house in America.
Dude, don't you love those?
I love them.
You really have to come to Transworld. I'll give you the address. You can look and see.
For sure.
It's the size of a giant convention center. And up until just recently, it was only, you had to have a business license to go. So it was only purchasers for those types. And it was from, you'd see a $75,000 animatronic down to a $700, $70 deal. And the weirdest groups of human beings. So they'd all come in gangs from haunted houses wearing their colors. And you've just, you know how they are. People who have haunts are weird people,
sure,
right?
Sure, of course. They're like borderline carnies.
And they're the most interesting. So you'd see these roaming bands of super weirdos charging through. Best 3 days of your life. And there's open bars everywhere. You're just getting hammered on whiskey, walking around buying stuff you don't need. It's,
there was a punishment on Impractical Jokers that took place in a haunted house. We had, at the beginning of VR, we had Sal wear a VR headset. And he was in a horror game called Sisters, right? And it's these two twin girls in matching outfits like The Shining, right? And it's terrifying. He's walking down these haunted hallways, creatures coming out, the little twin girls are there. It's very, very scary. And what he didn't realize is that when he had the VR goggles on, headset on, while he was in VR, we had secretly converted the blank room he was in to be the set from the game he was in.
That's
right?
So great.
So the room he's in the game of this library, haunted library, when he takes the headset off because he's too scared, he's now in reality in that haunted house. Oh. And in the corner of the room are the two twin girls.
That's
and he
so
almost,
great.
I can say the S word?
No. You can
I can't
say
the
S
word.
Just get
okay.
the S out
he
of him.
Almost S'd his pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
That's brilliant.
But dude, that's, again, once you get that wherewithal and people around you can make those crazy moments come to life,
Yeah. Dude,
the best, the most fun ever. Nah, dude, I hope you guys stay on the show. Hope you stay on the air forever.
Thanks, buddy.
Hope you make a million movies. Hope you write another Dunn books. It's, by the way, the fact you've had 9 books inside you is absolutely crazy to me.
By the way, if anybody wants a copy of my new one, it's called You Better Watch Out. Get it on anywhere books are sold. The audiobook actually has the raw audio from Impractical Jokers, where they strap me to the hood of a race car and made me read a chapter of this book.
Well,
I'm terrified.
I have that.
Oh, okay.
So we have time?
Sure,
quick,
of course.
So listen, you guys, this is the audiobook, but this led to another prank. Where it, man, I mean, the way they played, this is the first part, so.
That's right, bud, you are at Englishtown Racetrack, and today is one for the books.
Audiobooks, to be exact, because today you are going to be recording one chapter from your brand new book, You Better Watch Out.
And, my friend, you're going to be recording it while strapped to the top of this stunt car.
Yes, you are.
It's just going to be a curse word.
No, it's not. You got to read the book. It don't stop until you read the chapter.
Finally, the book will be a thriller.
All right, Mer.
Oh, my God. Oh my God! The legs dude, are flying off. Okay,
dude. All of this is going in the audiobook, pal. Okay. So
you better watch out. A thriller by international best-selling author James S. Murray and Darren Weirmouth. Chapter 3. Most of the inhabitants were straight.
How's that break feel?
It feels like my balls are in my mouth.
All that's going in the audiobook.
How fast are you going there?
I got up to 80.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys think about that strapped to a car. That's goddamn fast,
yeah.
Right?
Oh my.
So, but then you guys double down with the prank.
This is a punishment 5 years in the making.
Oh, he told himself to play it cool.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You're going to hear that in the audiobook. I'm going to hear.
He fell off.
Oh,
Murray dropped.
Wait, what?
Guys, check Murray, check Murray, check Murray, check Murray.
Wait, what?
Guys, what the f*** is
get
going
on?
There.
Get in there, ambulance.
Wait, what?
Check Murray.
He just fell off.
Is there a medic or an ambulance?
What the f***, guys?
What the f***?
Shay, did you get in the car?
Yeah.
Ambulance. Move. Check Murray, check Murray.
Is he talking?
No, he's not.
Is he awake?
Where's that board?
Guys, what the
f***? Where's that board?
Murray.
Hold on, let's get this strap.
Respond.
Well, Sal.
Well.
I was always okay. Well, this is actually a punishment against you. And
that's
Sal,
so
just for
brutal.
You, buddy, since this is your punishment and not mine, I'm going to autograph a copy of You Better Watch Out.
Oh my God, you f***ing all knew this? What the f*** is going on?
Sal,
my stomach is
all the best.
I'm gonna throw up.
Love, Murr.
Feel my heart?
I have never
My friend, today was always your punishment.
More duped in my life.
You dug in.
That's next level.
Next level. You went to the heart, man.
Years in the making, I've wanted to fake my own death in the TV show to torture Sal. I tell you what. So we did a fast switch. I secretly had the EMT outfit on under my fire suit, and then we have a duplicate car that was identical, a stunt guy on top, and when I pulled around the bend, that car pulled out at speed and went around the turn, took the turn too tight, and the stunt guy flew off. As I was stripped off the car, tore my outfit off, had the EMT jumped into the back of an ambulance, grabbed the bag, put the fake hair on, and raced to the scene. The whole crew had been rehearsing for hours before Sal got there to react in the moment, all go running. Sal goes running, thinking it's all real. And then when I pulled the wig off and revealed it was all a prank, I think I took 3 years off Sal's real life.
For real?
And I'll tell you what, it was so exciting,
yeah.
So much fun, that and the adrenaline was so high. An hour after we filmed, the real medics on set it took Sal's heart rate, and he was still 156 an hour later, right?
No.
Fast forward, hours later, I'm getting ready for bed with Melissa. We're brushing our teeth, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I turned to Melissa, and I said, did I go too far? It was only hours later that I had a moment of maybe I went too far.
Oh, dude. I'm so glad you came in the studio. Oh,
thanks for having me. I mean, you guys have been so kind and generous to the guys and I for no reason. We're just schmucks from Staten Island. But you've been so generous to us over the years. And we can't thank you enough. Like, there's no other station I would go into for on a day we're filming the movie. But you guys are the best.
Dude, I love it.
You've been so supportive of us. Big Slick, and it's been an honor, a pleasure to meet you in person.
Buddy's very excited about meeting Bates. He's been up, you guys, you can't see him, but he has been Murr nonstop over there. That's
Murr's balls were never left alone.
Balls and butts.
You better watch out.
Murr's story.
You better watch out. It's the new book, guys, in the movie. When will the movie come out with Move?
Next fall comes out. It's called Don't Move, and you can get that book too, anywhere books are sold, to read what it's actually about.
Somebody had just said, can you repeat the email address? Or text it to me for the casting of Don't Move.
Yeah, if you want to be an extra, we're filming a cornucopia. We'll be there in the Power and Light District on Thursday and Friday, and at the cornucopia on Friday, which of course runs all weekend. Go to don'tmovecasting@gmail.com, and we'll put you in the scene. You can be in the scene with a couple of celebs and myself.
You're welcome here anytime.
Thanks for having me, everyone.
Dude, Murr.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.